Today is a great and exciting day in the church calendar year. The day of Pentecost, 10 days after the day that Jesus ascended to the Father to prepare a place for us, the much anticipated Holy Spirit comes to those who have been promised that they will not be left alone. Much happens when this Holy Spirit comes. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we discover that very wild and unpredictable events occur when this Holy Spirit comes. There are sounds like the rush of a violent wind and tongues of flames lighting on people's heads, apparently causing them to have abilities that they did not have previously. In this particular case, they're gifted with the ability to communicate with the folks who have gathered from far and near in this international worship and pilgrimage center of Jerusalem. Those who were all gathered in one place are now sent out into the streets to do the work that they've been given to do. Given our readings from the Gospel of John recently, we might be tempted to think that Luke's words in Acts, all together in one place, somehow imply that this group was of like mind, or the term one place indicates some sort of unity or oneness. Acts tends to be more of an account of events than does the Gospel of John. And while we hear that the early disciples shared all things in common, it seems that the early experience of fully shared life and resources was short-lived. We've also heard frequently of the huddled together posture of the followers of Christ after his crucifixion and even after his resurrection. So we need not be too surprised that they have once again returned to their default operating mode of seclusion and fear. But God will not let them go. God will not leave them in their default, in seclusion or in fear. And God doesn't do something mild or distracting to urge them to do the work that God intends for them to do. God sends his Holy Spirit, his very own wild and untamed spirit, to blast them out of their security and out of their safe hiding space. And you know it worked. God's untamed, unfettered, wildly uncontrollable spirit succeeded on this day. And because of that, the church was born. And because of that, this day is known as the birthday of the church. We Episcopalians tend to be a little unsure about this untamed, unfettered, wildly uncontrollable Holy Spirit. We like things we can control. We mostly leave the Holy Spirit to Pentecostals and others of our brothers and sisters who are more at ease with the unpredictable. I'm not sure that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying that the Episcopal Church in Anniston, Alabama, in the year of our Lord 2014, should break out and speak in tongues or even fall down slain in the Spirit. Frankly, I'd be a little perplexed if all of you began to do that right now. But there are other ways that God's Spirit engages God's people. And I wonder if we're open to that engagement, or if we so desperately need to be in control that we limit what God can do and will do in our midst. I was at Canuga, the conference center for the Diocese of Western New York, the end of this past week, learning more about the goings-on in the Episcopal Church nationally. I went to workshops on human trafficking and on anti-racism, those topics that I have great interest in. I heard engaging speakers in both of these workshops and also in the plenary sessions. One of the talks that engaged me the most was a reflection given by the Right Reverend Porter Taylor. He's the Bishop of Western North Carolina. It was brief, but it was big. Bishop Taylor centered his talk around the word hope and said that our world has lost hope. That the problems of our world, and most specifically in our country, are not born so much out of greed, but out of despair. He talked about the time when he was a newly elected bishop. He had a conversation with the retiring bishop of Western North Carolina, who shared with Bishop Taylor that he felt like a failure in his time as bishop because he believed that he had not been bold enough, that he had moderated on issues that required boldness. Bishop Taylor shared with the gathered body of Province 4 that he had those same feelings of failure, that he too, in his 10 years of bishop, had not been bold enough, that he had not hoped for the immeasurable or the unbelievable. He shared a story that I think is worth sharing with you today as we ask and hope that the Holy Spirit will come and infect us with its unfettered and untamed fire. There's a small village in Africa that was visited by a group hoping to work to effect changes in places that are desperate and dying. Bishop Taylor told the name of the agency, but that has escaped my sieve-like memory. So these folks arrive on site in Africa. The well has dried up. The crops have dried up. The animals are dying and the people are starving. The situation is as bad as anyone could even imagine. The tribal leaders, who Bishop Taylor described as all men, were sitting in their leadership circle. So the folks from the helping agency asked what the leaders thought could be done to improve the situation. The leaders had no ideas. They could not imagine how anything could change. And so they had no hope. The agency folks then said, "Let us talk to the women." And they did. And the women said, "We've had a vision that there is water underground, and that if we dig, we will find water." The men would not allow the women to dig. The men said the women were stupid for chasing a vision. The agency folks convinced the men to allow the women to dig against their better judgment. The men would not take part in the digging, but they conceded and allowed the women to dig. So the women dug for a day, for a week, then a month, then a year. Day after day, along with all of their other regular work, the women dug. They had a vision that there was water. They believed their vision, and they never lost hope, even when it seemed far-reaching that their vision would be a reality. Just at the end of the year, the women hit water. Now the village has water to drink, to water the animals, to water the crops. And according to Bishop Taylor, this water source is in no danger of failure. I have a vision for Grace Church. That Grace Church will be a place that is welcoming and including of all people, all people. I have a vision for Grace Church, that anyone who walks through these doors will be treated as a member of our family, that all people will be included in all aspects of life at Grace, and not just included, but encouraged and engaged and loved. I have a vision that we will be known as a church community in Anniston that cares for each other and loves each other and welcomes everyone, no matter how they look, the color of their skin, the clothes that they wear, where they come from, what they do or what they have done, or who they love. I have hope that the Holy Spirit will come and soften hard hearts and open closed minds and set us out into the world to speak the language of hope and love that the world needs to hear. Who will join me in my vision?